Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults, and the opinions we express do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves. If you would like to support the show, go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar and check out our Patreon campaign.
Is spring like this ever a weird time for you? Is it, you ever get like just things don't feel right?
You know, like a freeze warning for tonight up here? Yeah.
Oh, what?
There's a freeze warning?
That's ridiculous. Also, you did that thing again where you just said the same thing again. No, so it's going to be like ridiculous, like cold there tonight?
Evidently. I get bloops on my phone.
Yeah. Huh. So you can cover your tomatoes.
Yeah.
Right.
I get lots of bloops on my phone. I get, you know, when people give me money on Patreon.
You start eating your own?
Monthly, people are funding me to stop you.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
Live your dream, which is to stop mine.
It's called Whatever It Takes. The Whatever It Takes campaign.
You can't keep getting away with it. Yeah. No. Huh.
We're the fleecing of America.
We're not sorry, America. No apologies, America.
I think we live in two different countries.
Yeah, increasingly, there are two different countries.
Well, what are you going to do?
Sorry, I just pretended like I was on NPR there for a second.
I was pretending like I was insulin dependent.
Huh. Yeah, it's a... No. Let's just go interview a Trump voter.
It's just roll tape.
Roll tape. Let's just go interview. Just whatever. This will finish up our assignment. Oh, you're still behind him. Okay. All right.
That's really funny. I want a Trump voter after a tornado commenting on how her son cannot possibly be guilty of a hate crime.
Such a quiet boy.
Oh, wait. Those interviews happen all the time.
Right. You know, whatever. So all of those factors are usually in play. It's just a matter of which ones do they expose. Yeah.
She's quoted as saying, there's a thin line between great crime and hate crime.
Fucking scary. I don't know. I generally don't feel at ease anymore.
Stop talking about politics.
Okay, that's fine. It's coming from you. Yeah, so weird. It's very strange.
So were you going somewhere with the?
Oh, do you ever? No. This is just usually like a weird, a strange time for me. Like that's when usually my anxiety goes up a little bit.
Really,
no real reason. It's just you would expect it to be the opposite. You would expect that stuff to be. You would expect it to be worse in the winter, right? Because of like some seasonal affective thing. But no, it's just there's usually something in the spring.
I think it's your body telling you need to get out there. You need to get moving. You need to go outdoors and.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I think it's about.
Yeah,
and you're not listening.
Yeah, that is probably true. But I also don't want to lecture. So.
No, I'm saying that's probably what it is.
Yeah.
Probably, you know, I'm saying stop hibernating. It's been a decade.
Yeah, I suppose. Hey, Chris, what episode is this?
Episode number 204 of the internet podcast / comedy. Those Damn Ross Kids.
Yeah. Your name is?
I'm Chris.
Yeah, and my name is Cole, and we're here to entertain your asses. My phone blooped me here. Monday to Tuesday, planned closures due to North 4th Street works in Milwaukee. Huh, this map app thinks that I'm still in Milwaukee.
Did you leave your heart there?
No, it was a fine city. It was. I met a lot of nice people there who came in from the greater Chicago area, which I like. Based on my drive, just consumed Milwaukee. It was very strange. Yeah. No, but it was, yeah, that's a, that is a very bizarre bloop to get.
That you're somewhere you don't think you are?
Right, yeah. Just,
yeah.
If I wasn't looking out the window while I record, I would definitely look out the window to see if I was not where I expected
like, to be. Getting a random text from someone who writes, I think he's yours.
Our appearance on Maury's in 2 weeks. Is Maury still on?
I don't know. That's not where I was going with it.
No?
Because the picture that came with it is like a Beanie Baby and a guillotine.
Oh, right. Yeah. That was the anniversary of the terrors, I think. I forget what that period was called after the French Revolution. Fuck.
Ah, history.
Yeah. Would have been a fun joke to talk about an anniversary Beanie Baby for a terrible thing.
If you had knowledge.
Yeah, but if I wasn't who I am, and if I didn't just have a vague notion of things that happened, as opposed to any specific expertise or knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just, you know, it's the card you drew. It's the card you drew.
Mm. Yeah. So I have a story for you. We'll start out sad.
All right. Well, let's start, continue, and then end sad. Let's do it.
Right. In a moment of reflection, on the eve of graduating from Eastern Michigan University, student Davion Reeder decided he was going to send out a tweet that has now gone viral. The tweet read, "My stepdad told me it was pointless to go to orientation. I wasn't going to graduate. 4 years later, he in jail and I'm well."
Okay. All right.
So why do people do that to their kids?
Tell them that, you know, failure is inevitable, so don't try.
Right. That's just a waste of time.
You need
to go to work at the mill like me.
Well, I mean, so are we going to rule out easy things like abuse born of insecurity, or because
fancy college boy?
Yeah.
Well, think you know better.
I don't know. I think that having not grown up in an environment like that, it is very difficult to pinpoint that. Good for that kid for not listening to somebody in their life who is straight up an idiot.
Stepdad.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. Do you have a hypothesis, or did you just want to tell me a bummer story and have me draw generalizations about other people's lives?
His degree is in criminal justice.
Okay.
So he's going to constantly be keeping his dad down.
Oh, right. He got one of those revenge degrees.
So it was like double birds. That's what that was. Sorry, I buried the lead.
Yeah, that's pretty.
And
that's...
you'll never find it.
it's buried in Giant Stadium. Yeah. No, that's, So why did it go viral? Was it just an inspirational thing that people latched onto at graduation time, or?
Yeah, it's that time of year, you know, where people are looking for, you know, a new Vitamin C song.
a new Nickelback.
Right.
Yeah. Huh. Was that new that? But that
new,
was your
new Mayor's Creek.
that did you say Mayor's Creek as opposed to Destiny? Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. So I'm flipping through my Rolodex. What is that? What are you referencing?
It's Death Uber for Trixie. I just made it up, man. Yes, and.
Okay, all right.
Sorry. Ask me. It's not yes, and here's another question. Please, please hit that nail again.
Please. What I thought you were doing was that thing that you do where you say a sentence, but each word is just one off. So I thought you were making reference to an actual song, but just saying the title and the artist wrong.
No. No, that's not what I'm doing.
Yeah, that graduation song was that graduation song was your that was your class song, right, for graduation?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. I suggested More Than a Feeling as our class song as a joke, and people voted it in. So the class of 2006 from Ontario, Ohio, their class song is a song by Boston from 1977. Yeah, that was a fun joke. I think I played it on Guitar Hero and was real into it.
Are you serious?
Yeah, no, check it out. Like they, when at our reunion last year, that was the last song that they played, and it all came rushing back to me writing that down on the ballot like in first period class. Like, oh, I did do that to us, didn't I?
Oh wow, that's incredible.
It's a good song.
I suggested Conjunction Junction, but everyone hated Nick at Night, so
yep.
Nope.
Yeah.
The petticoat would not become in vogue for another 3 years.
From when you graduated?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't know if you were telling a new story.
It's when everybody went back to Petticoat Junction and praised it for what it is.
Yeah, yeah. So a subversive, very subversive show.
Right.
Yeah. I've got a story here.
Okay. Is it about Patty Duke?
No. No, oh. Nor is it about Patty Hearst. No, it's specifically about new reasons to be afraid of some relatively common woodland creatures. Okay, so you may think, hey, deer are only dangerous to me if I'm in a car and they decide to run across the road. Because despite the fact that cars have been around for more than a century, they have not gotten like they didn't get the memo about how to not just become, you know, bloated wrecks on the side of the road. Okay.
Okay.
So yeah, you may think, hey, that is the, like, okay, that is the worst thing that they can do to me. And, you know, that and probably like chew on my trees in my garden or whatever. No,
sure.
The actual thing that you should probably worry about now, based on something published in the Journal of Forensic Sciences, is that they have now captured the first recorded footage of a deer eating human remains.
Okay.
Okay.
How did that, like, did the deer dig up someone?
Herein we report on the first known photogenic, photographic evidence. It was also a handsome deer. It was a very handsome, sexy ass deer.
Handsome corpse. Oh, jeez.
The first known photographic evidence of a deer gnawing on human remains. It says in here, researchers left the human body out in the woods in 2014 and set up a motion sensitive camera so they could actually see like what kind of scavenging species in the area would go for the corpse. Okay. This is
a trail cam.
A what?
A trail cam.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I had no idea, but like they just put it out there because, you know, like bodies in different areas will decompose at different rates, especially if there's an eagle, you know, swooping down to feed their kids to you. Again, sorry, right. Sorry, America.
There are different places around the United States where people, when they donate their bodies to science, science actually means that they're going to take that body and put it in some kind of situation.
Like a body farm or something like that?
Like a body dump.
Okay.
It's like, they're going to be like, okay, well, you know, what, because they don't know how to age, you know what I mean? Like, despite what Bone says, oh, I estimate that this person died, you know, 23 hours ago.
Oh, I forgot that I wandered into your fucking wheelhouse here. Okay, go ahead.
Right. So what they do is, like, when you donate your body to science, some bodies become, I wonder what happens when you're in a cold river for 9 days.
Right, right.
And so they take a body and they throw it in a cold river, and then they, you know, they watch it.
Right.
And then they pull it up every once in a while and they're like, okay, well, this is, you know, this is 8 hours, this is 24 hours and so on. Yeah, so yeah. That when they find a body in a cold river,
yeah,
they can be more proximate to the reality of when it was thrown in the cold river.
Right. Right. Because a lot of this, like some of the measures that people have, like what, rigor mortis or what's the other one, like liver enzymes and blood pooling. Like those are the ones that I recognize from media. Like, oh, that, like that is what they use to set approximate times. But those can only be so reliable based on specifically the temperature of where they're at. And right. Actually aging the corpse helps you determine a window for the time when the crime would have happened.
Right.
Okay.
So like there's even places where they'll just be like, you know, this essentially like a fenced in dog park looking thing where okay. They've wrapped bodies in certain stuff. Like, so one's wrapped in a rug and another one's like hefty bags and, you know what I mean? Just like random
right,
shit.
Right.
And they just, it's like a graveyard inside of a dog park where all the bodies are just kind of wrapped up in certain things.
Right.
And then
right.
they monitor them. They'll like come and uncover them and be like, oh, well, that's fucked up. And then move on to the next one. Like, wow, that's more fucked up.
Wait, please make a note of the relative fuck upness of this situation.
Right. Intern.
Yes, interns. Yeah. So they were doing this in the woods specifically to see just like, hey, here's a body out in the middle of nowhere. I assume with a sign around it that says, hey, this is perfectly normal, which would be a great way to disguise a corpse. Or, you know, to disguise a murder victim. So they set it out there to see what would come up and gnaw on it and just kind of like look at the effects again, like how rotten does a corpse have to be before like a particular animal comes after it. And so what they found, at first they found a photograph of a white-tailed deer with a human rib bone in its mouth. Okay. And then a few days later, a deer, it's not certain if it's the same one, was spotted again with a rib bone in its mouth like a cigar.
Hey.
Got a good body over there, see?
Meh.
Meh.
Let this be a lesson to all the hunters.
And so this is the first time that people have actually seen that. And it's not the first time that, you know, like, so deer... they're herbivores, but mostly because they're effectively useless at doing anything. Like they eat grass because it cannot run from them because they have brains the size of mice. Okay.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Deers are carnivores in much the same way that a person with a micro penis is a poon hound.
But like there's videos, if you go and do a search for like, oh, a deer eating a pigeon or something like that, like if a deer gets hungry enough and if the opportunity is available, like a deer you think it will just like sip from a stream and chew on some grass, no, he will straight up just like mow down on a bird. It's actually pretty upsetting.
Huh.
Same thing with that video of a pelican. Have you ever seen the video of the pelican eating the pigeon?
No,
it's actually pretty fucked up because, you know, pelican's got that big sack. It's got that big sack underneath its beak, right? He walks up and then just like scoops up this bird, and you get to see the pigeon fighting inside this thing's beak sack until it eventually reaches the bottom, and then there's no more struggling.
That's rough.
Shh, no more tears.
Shh, quiet.
Yeah.
That's like seeing video of your uncle donkey punching your aunt.
No, it's just not right.
That shit's funny. Sorry, I listened to a podcast with Ron White.
Oh, really? He's still alive?
Yeah, he's still alive, right?
Okay, so my reaction to Ron White still being alive is exactly the same as my reaction to Miley Cyrus turning 25 last episode.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So I'm like, huh, were you really watching, listening to a podcast with Ron White?
I was, yes.
Oh, like what show was he on?
He was on Doug Stanhope's podcast.
Oh, well, yeah, he separated himself from that blue collar thing, but not soon enough. So most people know him from.
He's stained.
Yeah, he's got that dip stain on him.
Is it my turn?
Yeah, it is. So run away from deer as fast as you can.
Run away from deer. There's this term in Japanese culture, and I'm going to butcher it, but it's called johatsu. Go ahead.
No, can you spell that?
J-O-H-A-T-S-U. Or evaporated people. They're saying that almost 100,000 Japanese citizens disappear annually when they can't, quote, lose the black dog of depression, throw the monkey of addiction from their backs, or buck the horns of sexual impropriety.
Okay.
Japan's
missing people. Do stressed out Japanese really stage elaborate disappearances on the trail of the johatsu or evaporated people?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go into more detail on this. I'm looking at a Time article.
He found where yaniga, or fly-by-night shops that specialize in helping people such as domestic violence victims flee, which can cost clients thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like there's this underground society in Japanese culture where people just kind of just drop out.
Okay.
Do
they eventually like reassimilate into new lives? Is this like the guy from Breaking Bad?
They kind of just live in the underworld, man.
Oh, wow. So they basically give up basically living above ground.
Right. They just say this is enough. And then they go and they live a different life.
Yeah. They live without documentation.
Huh. Yeah. Essentially, they just go off grid.
Yeah.
So like, man, I can't take this pressure. I can't take, you know, being beaten all the time. I'm going to abandon my sad, pathetic reality.
Yeah.
That's in the article, by the way.
Yeah. Well, no, it's a serious thing. Like there's also, forgive me because my knowledge of Japanese culture is mostly from media and things related to media, but there's also
mine's from that one episode of The League.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but there's also like a, something similar that happens. Hikikomori is a phenomenon where like, especially young people who, you know, have professional misfortune or actually have mental illnesses that are underdiagnosed or non-diagnosed or are hidden by the families and they can't get treatment. They end up living as shut-ins, actually. Like it's a pretty, I'm led to believe that it's a pretty big problem. Who knows how big the problem is and if it's actually outsized, but that feels like a similar flavor to this. It's just like there is not enough of a support structure for people who suffer from these kind of taboo circumstances. And therefore their only recourse, apparently is to
podcast.
Yeah. Okay, there you go. You made it funny as opposed to being really sad.
It was like, hang on to, please, hang on to. They're forced to.
Hang on to. You're waiting to pounce. No. They're either forced to, you know, shut themselves away and depend on loved ones in order to, meet their own needs. And also, apparently now become these evaporated people and just kind of disappear. They just pack their bags and move away entirely. Fuck you.
Thanks.
Yeah, no, that was really good.
I'll be here for the next half hour.
Yeah. Huh. Very strange. Do you have any other details about this? Like, how does somebody get set up in this business? Like, how do you find somebody who does that?
I don't know.
No, it doesn't.
And it's
say.
The same thing as here. I, you know, only there they have. You know, it's an industry.
Right.
They're, you know, the disappearers are advertising on, you know, whatever fucked up game shows on that day.
Right.
Saying, you know, are you tired of your blah blah blah?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you too can be scammed by a guy wearing a blazer with question marks on it.
Hmm. They call this.
Remember that guy?
No.
Oh, what? He was the guy in the infomercials here in the United States.
Oh, Lesko, right? That's his name. The the government owes you money stuff. Guy. Yeah, yeah. No, I know. I'm sorry. I was reading this article and I didn't hear you. Like, I didn't hear you mention the question marks already. Of course, Lesko. He's a real scam artist guy who dresses like the Riddler and screams into the camera. Yeah.
Have you ever seen the outtakes where he doesn't remember where he's at? He starts screaming about total liquidation and they're like, no, 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 no. That was last week.
No. I'm sorry, Richard, you lost the car lot. Huh? The premise was that these customers were princesses or princes who had traveled without a passport and ended up in a foreign land. Often they were dressed the part on arrival, they were given a bell to ring for service. Going along, apparently this person had I talked about this. Elsewhere, there were fetish dungeons and, for the less adventurous, co-sleeping specialty shops that charged for cuddles by 20-minute by 20-minute increments.
20 never mind.
Oh, I misspoke and said 20 minute excrements, didn't I?
No, I was gonna say instruments. I'm being cuddled with instruments.
Boom, boom, boom. Yeah. Huh. So yeah, I guess this is just an article talking about, I saw co-sleeping shops, highlighted. And the last thing that I want to do is get in here and say, and start making fun of other people's cultures. Wow, $30 for 20 minutes of just like taking a nap with someone cuddling you. The optional course is customer sleeps on girl's arm for 3 minutes, 1,000 yen.
Holy shit!
Or $10. So yeah, a yen is like a cent. So $10. Girl pats customer on the back for 3 minutes. That's $10. Customer gets pets the girl on the head for 3 minutes. $10. So this is like an especially innocent. I mean, to call it sex work might not actually be very, might not be accurate, but it definitely is.
It reminds me of like a really poor person who's trying to build a classic car.
Okay.
It's like one piece at a time. Whenever I get enough money together, like eventually that guy's going to fuck that girl.
That's a thing though. Again, forgive me if I'm going, you know, over my bounds here. And again, this is just a bunch of stuff from media, but like hostess bars, people will go and, you know, their waitresses will be dressed up and they're like personalities that draw people from, you know, miles around to be like these loyal customers, you know, and it's not like implied that they're, you know, it's never straight up stated. It's not a part of it. Like, hey, we're going to sleep with you. But it is like a way to, you know, have a transactional relationship with somebody who is attractive and outgoing and nice, you know, like it is just another thing that happens. Like weird businesses, man. It's weird. And I don't say that as like a judgment thing, like, oh, weird, like gross. The Japanese are strange. No, it's just like, it's just not something we have here.
No, I don't think people would be comfortable because here people would just be getting sexually assaulted.
Yeah. Oh gosh. It just all over the place. It'd be pretty bad. Huh.
That's the difference between the two cultures. They take what's theirs and we take what we think we should have.
Jesus.
I mean, that applies to anything. That's why those people can take a 5-year-old little girl and put her like, oh, go ride the subway.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, that's not mine.
I don't know.
You know that they do that. Like in Asian culture, like you can, kids are safe.
Yeah, they're free range still.
Right.
Yeah. No, I mean, but like that's a thing like that we used to be here and now we're not because of both probably just a rise in, yeah, I don't know, of crime and also the rise in the perception that if your kid is out of your sight for one single moment, they're gone. They're gone forever. Yeah, I don't know that I have anything else to say about that. Like, huh, I need to bookmark this article because it's actually really, really kind of fascinating. Huh. I've got a story. Can I bring us back stateside?
Yeah.
Okay.
Everything else I got stateside.
Okay, cool. This is actually two separate stories that are related. So can I tell you about can I tell you about a couple of different people who may have gotten a little bit too rowdy?
Please.
Okay, first one here, Dayton, Ohio. Guys facing indecency charges for attempting to have sex with a van that was parked on the street.
I think we've talked about people fucking cars before.
Yeah, we have. I like the details on this though, and that's kind of why I'm pairing this up because.
No, I wasn't criticizing you. No. I was like, yeah, I recognize because of doing this that's a thing.
Yep. No, like the other one's going to be a blast from the past as well. So, 35-year-old guy deciding, hey, I want to get rowdy. It's outside of a bar, wearing only a pair of black shorts and black shoes. Decides to just let's say pull up to the bumper and put his genitals into the front grille of a red van. Parked on the side of the road, and then just get rowdy with it.
Okay,
hey, I'm just gonna go nuts on the grill. You know, I want to get some of that fly guts all up on my front piece. You know,
right? It's better than pulling the license plate down and hitting the trunk.
So yeah, he's faced with public indecency charges. Okay. Officers who questioned him said he appeared to be intoxicated.
Are you sure?
I'm just gonna ask you. I might have some issues with your detective work there, Rick. Okay, so that's in Dayton, Ohio. Let's go about 10 hours south to Murfreesboro, Tennessee, a small town that's a short ways away from Nashville. This time, 49-year-old man, again from Tennessee, say that he walked in to a place called the Boro Bar and Grill, pulled down his pants, and tried to have sex with an ATM. Okay, so there he goes.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, what's sexier than money? Come on. So he gets bored with that. Like, his seed will find no purchase. So he decides to strip nude, start walking around the bar looking for his new target. And he decides, okay, I've got to keep my muscles limber here. So I'm just going to thrust my hips in the air, just keep the motion going. Whatever gets in the way, well, that's all of a sudden going to get the, it's going to get it. Finally, he decides, you know what's going to get it? This picnic table, wooden picnic table, climbs up on top of it, finds the umbrella hole, and then just starts going for it. Okay. Officers noted in their police report that Hutton smelled of alcohol, had slurred speech, bloodshot eyes, and was unsteady on his feet. You sure?
You know, ketchup all over his abdomen.
It appears that he had written the Lord's Prayer on his abdomen in ketchup. He
told the cops, quote, "I think I did something bad."
I don't know where I am or what I did. So both these men are being held. This takes me all the way back. Man, I remember, like, way back in the day, like, this is college radio days. I can't remember if you were calling into that show or if it was just an early version of what we do here, but there was a story about a man up in northern Ohio, I think maybe Toledo or some suburb of Cleveland, on either side of the state there, who was, his neighbors had called and complained because he, with some regularity, was, you know, in his own backyard having sex with his picnic table. Like, he would roll it up on one side, again, get that umbrella hole in a particularly advantageous position, and then just start, you know, start going to work. And so
he's got that good.
Yeah, he got that good umbrella hole. So this is unsettling to see, you know, again, it's separated by about 10 years or so, but it's unsettling to see another instance of somebody looking at that umbrella hole and thinking, hey, you know, let's make this happen.
I thought it.
You've thought it.
Yeah.
Gonna admit that? Yeah, I mean, you're not gonna lie. Last thing I want you to do is lie, okay?
I'm no longer welcome in the park.
Yeah, that gazebo has become a permanent crime scene. There is a plaque there to that effect. Huh.
I'm actually the reason there are no more picnic tables.
Yep, you have to rent them.
It's not funding.
No. In fact, it's quite expensive. You have to call the parks department and say, like, hey, I want a picnic table from 10 a.m. to 10:30 for this birthday party. Then they have to bring it out in a car. They have to have a minder there. He's chained to the picnic table at all times, so it feels awkward. You have to have some conversation with them. It's a whole thing. It's a whole thing why we can't have nice things. But yeah, those are just two men who decided, again, to you know, to just live weird, to live out loud.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, you got a story for me?
I do. It's about another picnic table I'd love to hate fuck, and that's Ivanka Trump.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
She wrote a book. Did you hear about this? She calls it The Manual for Architecting the Life You Want to Live.
Yeah, I've read, I've heard of it. I've read reviews of it. The most common word that I've heard lobbed at it is vapid.
Nauseating.
Yeah, I like, just not nauseating like James Comey was nauseated when he published that letter.
Right.
Fucking garbage. I was like, hey, it's vapid. Like, people on Twitter were tearing it apart because, like, apparently like there are swaths of it that are just copy and pasted from elsewhere within the book.
And she just doesn't get it.
but aside from using architecting as a verb, her whole thing is like, oh, it's women who work, basically saying, hey, if you're a woman, all you need is to be in my exact situation in order to succeed.
Right.
She starts quoting like Nietzsche and Ayn Rand and shit. It's real, real rowdy.
They call the book a strawberry milkshake of inspirational quotes.
Okay.
They're saying that it's not really offensive so much as witlessly derivative.
Yeah.
Yeah. So some of the things she says in it is, a lady mustn't gossip. Success is a team sport. Ugh. And passion is what makes us feel most alive. This is where she really connects to the every woman, right?
Yeah, this is written here by a Markov chain that has been fed inspirational calendars. Continue.
Right. She actually has a tattoo of the hang in there monkey. But she suggests that women relieve stress through calligraphy and chess. Because every busy mom has time to do calligraphy.
You have to whip out your brushes. to whip out your brushes to sign the apology letter for your kid lighting the neighbor's farm on fire.
Shut the fuck up. Mama's working on her cues.
I just gotta get my brush out. You know, the world feels too much. You gotta get your brush out. Ladies, get your brushes out. You gotta architect. You gotta architect this shit. Play some chess.
Right.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Any other choice nuggets?
Nah, I think I've said enough.
Yeah, no, it's a...
Oh, wait, one time during the 2016 campaign, she didn't have time for a massage. That's in the book.
Oh, my God.
She suggests that grocery shopping isn't that important and complains about the fact that she didn't have time for a massage.
You just have your person do it for you, you know?
Your boy?
I mean, we don't say that part out loud.
I think the Trumps do.
Yeah, that's the thing. They say what everybody's thinking.
Right. they think what I believe in my heart.
I hope not.
Oh, you want me to reassure you that I don't? I'm sorry.
This has been Those Damn Ross Kids.
Hey, Cole, you want to give them safety tips for lawn darts?
Yes, I would. Don't. Especially if you're going to be doing generic lawn darts and not jarts. Jarts. Number one doctor recommended form of lawn darts.
The cure for accidental bloodletting.
the cure for not having a hole in your foot. Do you want the wounds of Christ? Yeah, no, I don't have any tips for lawn darts. Man, lawn darts is fun.
Oh, it's a blast.
It's great. No, but I do have things that people can do, which might include, going to iTunes and leaving us a rating or review, going to Patreon and kicking a couple of bucks on, by which I mean patreon.com/duckfeedtv. There we go. Or just some good old fashioned telling some friends. I don't know that I have any bigger network stuff to announce at this time. So just thank you so much for listening.
Sorry, America.
Sorry.